This is Arsene Wenger. Welcome to FIFA Training Center.
You're listening to FIFA Insight Live, a Training Center podcast. Throughout the 2022 FIFA World Cup in Qatar, we are taking you inside the game like never before. This fly-on-the-wall audio experience is putting you inside the car with our team of experts as they travel to all 64 matches at the FIFA World Cup. The final whistle is blown in the game between Cameroon and Serbia. You're now entering the minds of some of the world's finest football brains.
Welcome back to day 9 of the FIFA World Cup here in Qatar, where we have just watched a 6-goal thriller between Cameroon and Serbia. My name is Mark Roberts, and in the car with us today, as we travel away from the Al Janoub Stadium, is Sunday Olise, Pascal Zubabula, Mr. Alberto Zaccheroni, and FIFA's Elliot Stanell. Listen, guys, so many different events at different stages of the game, so let's talk about that opening period first as Cameroon took that early lead. And Zubi, we've seen a couple of similar goals now in the last few days from corners, a good delivery, first contact, and a goal through that second phase. Is there much you can do when organising defensively to prevent this?
This is a very difficult situation, especially for the goalkeeper. As I placed, this is a lot with concentration, with determination. If you go to the ball, you go 100% to the goal, and like Cameroon made this with the first corner, was a fantastic situation. First corner, Choupo-Moting was jumping so high, and he brought everybody focused on him, and behind was Nkolu, who makes this deviation, this flick. Then from there is the ball going on the second post to Castellotto, and he scored 3 in. And as a goalkeeper, you stay only there without any chance. In this situation, you need your players in the zone on the first post that they win these duels. But of course, the teams are training those situations, those standards, those free kicks, those corner kicks. And this is very, very difficult for a goalkeeper then to react if the ball gets deflected from the first post.
No, thank you. And Sunday, you were observing Serbia for us today. They conceded the first goal, but I guess what impressed you with how they recovered in that opening 45 minutes?
Well, they just continued what they had on from the beginning of the game. They started the game with the clear intention to control the play. They came out with a 3-4-3 playing style with the three central defenders giving them so much balance because the three defenders did not bother much about overlapping. They just made sure that they kept the central points closed without the ball. And even when they had to ask for the ball, they didn't go too wide, so they were always apart. That gave them stability. Now, with the midfielders, the four in the middle just opened up wide. By them opening up wide, they were able to build up easily because they also had many players who offered to have the ball ahead of the player in possession, their own teammate. So that made them playable with short passes and movements. They always had, the fact they had many players in front, they could play up out, and that eventually gave them the opportunity to come into the duels. Then they started creating free kicks and coming into the final third to finish. The problem there was then that the opposition now helped them a bit by making some silly mistakes, but that's something that I'm sure my friend Mr. Zaccheroni will make clear to you in the first half.
No, thank you. And Zubi, just on that end of that crazy 45 minutes, I guess, just in additional time, the two Serbia goals so late on, is there anything that could have been done in that? And just your thoughts, I guess, on the goalkeepers in general following that point?
Yeah, first of all, we need also to mention that the clear number one goalkeeper, Onana, wasn't anymore in the squad list today. And I don't know what exactly happened, but something must happen because he was not anymore on the list. And unfortunately, because Onana is an excellent goalkeeper, as we know, and we had now today a Passi, who has also his experience. He's around 29 years old, and he had the situation, the second goal. When we are talking about the second goal, I was not so happy to see this shot on his left side because he was with his hand there. And always, if you are as a keeper, you have a touch on the ball, then always you have to think automatically, why I didn't was stronger with my hand in this moment. And for this shot on his left side on the floor, I'm sure he could do it a little bit better. He didn't was very enough strong with his hand behind this ball.
And Alberto, obviously fascinating game, and you were observing Cameroon for us today. Your insight into their performance?
Cameroon won a point today in a game that was highly physical, and they suffered a bit in the first half, especially to the physical play and the size of the opposition, the Serbians. In particular, they suffered in central areas the most.
Punto centrale nella zona che va dalla propria porta alla porta avversaria.
Well, they made an error which Mr. thinks was probably the biggest, the most consequential error they made of the game, was that when they went into the attack, there was a big distance between the strikers and the defenders. So that means that when they lost the ball, there was no compactness, and the defenders did not support the attack when they went up front. So when they lost the ball, there was always a difficulty for them trying to regain possession, be compact enough to somehow control the game. Well, consequently, they made individual errors, and one of those major individual errors caused them for the third goal, and then saw them losing 1-3, and it seemed as if the game was over.
Lì la partita su 3-1 sembrava chiusa. Molto bravi.
Well, they eventually ended up scoring two goals to get a draw, thanks to the errors that eventually came up from the Serbian setup.
Ed è riuscito a recuperare due gol.
No, thank you, and as always a fascinating insight. And Elliot, we also noticed, I guess, a trend today in how the goals were scored.
Yeah, so Alberto mentioned the game was very physical and competitive. We had a high amount of forced turnovers from both teams, with Cameroon making 48 and Serbia 56. In fact, the first four goals all heavily featured forced turnovers. So the corner from Cameroon was one from a forced turnover. The free kick for the first goal for Serbia, also from a forced turnover. The scorer of the third goal for Serbia, Milinkovic-Savic, won the ball back around the penalty area, and he resulted by scoring from the edge of the box. And then for the third goal for Serbia, Tadic did a forced turnover, which resulted in their counter-attacking opportunity.
No, thank you, Elliot. And Sunday we were discussing, I guess, the control it looked like Serbia had during the game. I guess, what changed in the second half, or what were your observations from the second half as well?
Well, from the second half, they wanted to hold on, to continue dominating. They were leading by 3-1. I personally feel that the fact that they were dominating and it looked kind of easy, they decided also to play very high, like they were doing all the game. It's remarkable to say that from the onset of the game, the Serbians had a very high block. So that means most of the time they were always always having their defense line way up in the pitch of the game. But what happened now was that as the game progressed, changes were made, especially from those three central defenders who were playing from the back. They got changes and they were replaced by other players. This discipline that I saw with the first three players that kept them very compact and solid, not to be able to handle the attacks from the Cameroonians, seems to diminish. And that was when eventually these errors came in, through passes through the middle, and then errors came in. They were like offsides, and then eventually they got the goal. I personally think this result came out, this was a game in the hand, a 3-1. And unfortunately, maybe also thanks to the Cameroonians who played well, unfortunately, it ended up being a game, fortunately for them, good for Cameroon, they ended up being a one-point game from both sides. But let's give respect to the Cameroonians.
Just touch on the high block there that Sunday mentioned. So far in the tournament, we've had an average percentage of a high block of 5.75%. Serbia's total time was 9.4%, but at one stage during the second half, it reached a high of 11%.
So if I may add up to this, what Elliot is telling us now is that the Serbians in this tournament so far came up with probably the highest, the high block, consistent high block plays in the whole tournament. So it's quite impressive what the data can help you realize.
No, definitely. And Sunday, I guess as a player, you're involved in so many important games. But from a Serbia's perspective, when you lose that goal and it gets to 3-2 and then 3-3, what can you do, I guess, through the chaos to try and regain control of the game?
Well, I think if you experience, the first thing you know is that the moment it becomes 3-2, you start what we call the slow tactics game. It's not a negative game, but that means you're no longer in a hurry to go into actions. You play sideways balls and you lose the ball. You become compact immediately. You're now at that time trying to encourage your opposition to come to the middle. And at the same time, you stay compact. You don't try to collect a goal at 3-1 or 3-2 from a counter-attack. Normally, you should try to make more goals from 3-1 or 3-2 from a counter-attack. So that's what... I'm not criticizing the Serbians, because what I'm just saying is that from experience, when you're leading 3-1 at this level of a tournament, you make a block. You don't play too deep, you make a block, keep the ball in possession, and then try to get a fourth goal from a counter, but not be countered.
And Elliot, we were obviously discussing when that change came for Cameroon, and what was the data telling us around that importance of Abubakar coming onto the pitch as well?
Yeah, we noticed that Serbia's defensive line height out possession in the final third was 53 metres. So just to put that in context, that's just over the halfway line. This high line led to Abubakar being able to receive behind the defensive line twice. And in both of those occasions, they both led to goals.
No, thank you. And Zubi, just final question for yourself, if that's okay. Farid spoke yesterday about the small technical details, I guess, you need to be aware of from a goalkeeper's perspective. That third goal for Cameroon, where you've got to potentially protect your near post, you're aware that ball could go across the box. What small triggers are you looking for? Is there anything you can do in that situation?
Okay, in this situation, of course, Serbia was completely lost in the defense. That was the first point, and you as a goalkeeper in this situation, you had the situation almost two against one situation. But I would say in this moment, Cameroon played very well. They fell straight away. Hey, this is a big chance. No offside, nothing to do. Serbia was completely out of the place. And Choupo-Moting was doing brilliantly in this situation. And then the finish also, as a goalkeeper, okay, it would be a world-class save, but I don't want to mention anything in this game that the goalkeeper didn't done well. It was a game not really for a goalkeeper. Of course, you guys, you love it if you see goals 3-3, especially our data guys, they love it so much, but for me as a goalkeeper expert, really I hated this game when it was end up 4-4 or the 3-3. This is something what is not giving you a good feeling finally.
But Zubil, if I may just tease you,
tell me,
every goalkeeper I know, you like to win 4-0, but you don't like to collect 4.
No, I like if it's also a clean sheet, a 0-0. Yeah,
that's what
but
I mean.
Then you are sad and you are getting bored and you're not happy anymore. But I think we stop now here with this talk. Eh?
We'll continue this talk as we enter the stadium. We've just arrived now at Stadium 974 after watching the first competitive fixture between the two teams with a points share and a 3-3 draw. Obviously, as we continue now to progress onto the next game, Brazil versus Switzerland, from myself, Sunday Alberto, Zubi and Elliot, we wish you a good day and we will see you again tonight.
You've been listening to FIFA Insight Live, a Highway 61 production for FIFA Training Centre. For more information and insights throughout the 2022 FIFA World Cup, visit fifatrainingcentre.com.